Thanks, Kim. She's my favorite singer. What can I say? God is good. It's good to be in this place this morning. And good to have you here this morning. Glad you came. If you're listening or watching this service, I'm glad you're listening and watching. And God is good. Man, you know, I get to sing with my wife and I get to stand by a turkey. It just doesn't get any better than that. You know, I'm just saying, you know. No comparison, of course. No comparison. Well, we had a great time last night, and what a blessing it is to be back at Antrim here. I want to thank Tammy, and I will say this, all the Bryans. Man, you got a lot of Bryans around here. So for all of those Bryans that helped us up in the sound booth, Brian who invited us, I mean, it just goes on. Appreciate your pastors here, Casey and Pastor Adam, and just so it's a blessing for us to be here and to be a part of the service. And last night we did have a good time. I'm right at home with the Wild Game dinners because this is what I enjoy, and it is something that I really look forward to and don't take lightly that God gives me the opportunity to do that this morning. If you have your Bibles, though, I would like for you to turn to a passage of Scripture, maybe in bulletin or wherever it is here today, and it's Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And this is maybe a familiar portion of the Word of God for you. And so if you're here today and you say, oh, okay, I've seen this verse. I've read it before. I know what's going on. Maybe the pastor's a priest on it. But I'm maybe going to put a little different spin on it just from my perspective. And so bear with me here this morning as we just look into the Word of God. I like the one scripture. This is something that you don't have to be a real smart guy. If you have a King James Version of the Bible and you see red print, who's talking here this morning? Jesus is talking. So if Jesus is talking, let's listen, okay? Let's listen to what he says here. And this is the verse that I just want to pick out here. And so we can, in verse 35, Jesus said to them, let's pass over to the other side. Different translation kind of says the same thing. Let's go to the other side. Let's go. Let's get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. So let's pray real quick and just ask the Lord to bless his word this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. It is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the soul and the heart of man. So God, today we just ask that as we, as your people, stand here today, that you open our hearts and we open our hearts to you. Lord, we give you permission to speak to us today and to just allow the Holy Spirit to touch each and every one of us and to lead and guide, direct us as the Word of God reveals itself today. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is that Jesus is trying to tell his disciples that it was great. He's been talking to them. He's been giving them the parables of the sower. And if you back up a few verses, you begin to see what Jesus was doing. He was teaching. And what an awesome thing it is that would be to have sat under Jesus' teaching. Amen? I mean, can you just imagine how great it would be to hear the words of life coming from life itself? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so he's actually speaking life words, and it would just be awesome. But I think this is a real important portion of the Word of God because he doesn't just stop there. And I think this is one of the reasons why I started doing Wild Game dinners years ago, because Kim and I, we will be married 43 years in August. I married her when she was 12. And so she's just a young thing, but we've had a long journey together. And in the 43 years that we've been married, we've kind of evolved and changed, because when we first got married, we were involved in youth ministry. We traveled. We had a full band, lights, you know, sound, smoke, whole nine yards, did the big trailer and, you know, 5-6-piece band, drug stuff in, slept at camps, you know, ate camp food, and we survived. And and then God, you know, it used us in different ways. We were on staff at a church for a while, and then we began to find out that Kim had a women's ministry. Who knew? So all of a sudden, we went from singing together every weekend, and if you can believe it, Kim never spoke, never said a word. She would say, I'd say, well, you want to share a little bit tonight? Nope. If I want to share, I'll share something. Just let me know. I'll let you know. That's what she told me. I'll let you know when I want to share. I said, oh, well, there you go. All husbands, I'll let you know. So anyway, so all of a sudden, on one weekend, somebody called and said, hey, need Tony, I don't necessarily need you this weekend, but I'd sure like to have your wife. You think she could come do a little workshop for us? I said, Kim can do anything. Yeah, sure, no problem. Of course, we just had two young boys, and they were hanging to her legs, and I said, Kim, they want you to come, Leela. I can't do that. Okay, anyway. So anyway, things kind of sped up, and then she said, well, we'd like for her to do a little more than that. You think she could do worship and do that? Said, oh, she can do anything. Then they called back and said, the keynote speaker stopped, had to cancel for something. Could she just be the whole nine yards? And I said, absolutely, Kim can do anything. And then she said, I'm going to kill you. But anyway, the long and short of it is, God opened the door. She went. This was the very first women's ministry thing that she ever did in Panama City Beach. And so then we left. We went to sing at a camp and had kids and ate camp food and were doing our thing and got home. And I always hit the answer machine. And when the answer machine came on, it said, hello, this is Willow Creek Community Church. We would love to have Kimberly Bolton come do a women's conference. And I said, oh, what did my brother say? Let me back this up one more time. I thought it was a joke. But her second gig was Bill Hybels Church in Chicago, a women's event with Lucy Swindle. And so God opened the door. It was just kind of just a boom, here it is. So for the next 12, 15 years, she's been doing women's conferences all over the country. So I was like, okay, now what am I going to do? So our two sons were young at that time, so I said, I'll tell you what, you go sing, you go do your thing, and I'll keep booking, and I'll keep doing all the administrative things, and I'll have the guys. And so while that time, I said, you know, guys, you know, I don't think we've ever been hunting. So I went, okay, it's a good time to educate my sons. So we began to go hunting and had kids at our in our subdivision that didn't have dads, and I had a van load of boys taking them to hunter's education. Just the door opened, and Kim would call, and I said, and she would say, is the Future Men of God Club there? I said, yes, it is, right here. So just began to plant seed in those guys and see what God was going to do in their lives, and that was a wonderful season. That moved on. So all of a sudden, and about 12 years ago, somebody said, I was talking to Steve Chapman, and he said, hey, have you ever done a wild game dinner? I said, no, I don't believe I have. What do they do? I said, they talk about hunting. I said, I'm in. Oh, they eat a lot of game food. I said, I'm in. So God opened a door, and so I've been stepping into that. And so Kim goes one way, and I go another way. And so we just kind of stepped into the boat that God had given to us. And one of the things that I realized is, just like in these verses, when you realize what is being said here about Jesus, that we've got to go to the other side. The first thing is you got to realize who's opening the door and who's speaking to you. The Word of God says, my sheep hear my voice, know my voice. We need to listen. We don't have Jesus speaking to us on the shore saying, get in the boat, but we have the Holy Spirit. How many can attest to that? The Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. And if we're listening, it's not a miracle that God speaks. It's a miracle that we listen. Hello? God is speaking. God is talking to us all the time. It's a miracle that we're listening. And he is telling us here. Who is talking to us? Jesus is talking to us through his word, through the Holy Spirit. He's saying, get in the boat. If you're going to do anything for God, you got to get in the business. You can't say, God, bless me in the shoe business if you're not selling shoes. You can't say, God, bless me in this endeavor if you're not going to get in the endeavor. And here's the thing about that. You have to get in the boat. You have to make the commitment. And with ministry, let me just tell you, ministry is a commitment. Hello? It is your commitment, and it has different aspects to it. It always costs you something. Take up your cross daily and what? Follow me. You got to take up the cross. You got to bear the responsibility of getting in the boat. Because, you know, when I had those eight boys at my house and I began to tell them about hunting and fishing and all those kind of things, they didn't have a gun. They didn't have any camo. How can you be a hunter without camo? It's just impossible, isn't it? So I took them down to Academy Sports and loaded them all up, man. Got them the shoes, got them the boots and the pants and the hat. And I'll never forget, one of them just stood there and said, "Boy, don't I look good?" I said, "Dude, you're awesome." He was proud of the way he looked because he had what he needed to do the job. It cost us to get involved in God's work. It cost us our time, our endeavor. And one of the things that's missing in our life many times is passion. You know, when somebody says, "Tony, when you speak to outdoorsmen, what is it that you connect with?" I connect with the passion. And let me just tell you this. I want to read something to you, and I just want you to kind of listen for a second, because I think this is a key thing here in our life today. And if you're sitting with your spouse today, I want you to think about this. Passion is a strong and powerful emotion. Do you remember when you fell in love with that person you're sitting beside? Now think back, for some of us. Man, it was nothing to reach over and take their hand or slip that arm around there. You know, you were looking for the opportunity. How many of you have made a lot of phone calls when you're dating? Spent a lot of money on gas. When I dated Kimberly, she was 80 miles from me one way. One way. I was singing with my family, and we were gone every weekend. That's how I met Kim. I sang at her dad's church in Fort Walton Beach. Well, actually, I sang at the Civic Center, and then we wound up singing at her church. But I would drive from Atmore, Alabama to Fort Walton Beach, Florida, 80 miles one way, pick her up, drive 80 miles back to where my parents were. Then we would get in the bus and maybe drive 300 or 400 miles away, sing, be gone, come back, get back in my car, drive 80 miles and drop her off, and then drive 80 miles home. Many a morning at 4 and 5 and 6 o'clock, I'd watch the sun come up while that Ford Fairlane 500 was zooming down Highway 98, headed back home. Passion. Can you say that with me? Passion. What makes you do those kind of things? Well, it's a strong emotional desire that is almost unquenchable. One of the definitions of it, boundless enthusiasm. Timeless diligence. I talked on the phone. I called her. I wondered what she was doing every hour of the day. You know, when you're in love with somebody, punch somebody. You say, "I remember. I remember vaguely, but I remember." That's what passion is. Passion is also can be this. It can be a fire. Jeremiah said, "It's like fire shut up in my bones." The zeal of God. How many of those, you read those words in the Old Testament? The zeal of God. What is that? That is that passion. The fervor, it's the unction to function like we do so many times, because what makes us get it? You can't be passionate about the outdoors and then lay in bed till 8 or 9 o'clock. You know what you do if you're passionate about the outdoors? You get up at 3 in the morning. People, you've lost your mind. You get out of a warm bed and you go sit in a cold blind. For what? In hopes of. Just in hopes of. Passion. When Jesus says, "Get in the boat, stir up that gift within you, get in the boat." Remember the passion when you fell in love with the Lord. In Revelation, it said, "I've got something against you, church. I see all the good things you're doing. I see what's in the future for you. But there's just one thing that's missing in your life. Your first love." And what was he talking about? The passion that makes us do what we do for God. It's not because we have to. In our home, we don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. We don't have to do this. We get to do this. And that's the way I feel about hunting and fishing and the outdoors. I get to do that. I get to come to Antrim Church, I get to do this because not only do I enjoy it and I love it and I have the passion for it, but I get to be with people who have the same thing. And I mentioned last night, if you're around people who love the outdoors, they're going to show you what they killed before they show you their children. Here, see that? 11-inch beard. Awesome. I mean, the passion is there. The desire is there. Jesus says, get involved. Get involved with me and what I'm doing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. Get involved in what I want you to do. And you know what? If Jesus was talking, I always ask these three questions. Okay, who's asking? What do they want and why? Aren't those reasonable things to say? He said, okay, who's asking? Because sometimes it's all in who's asking is if you'll do it, right? Now, that's the key thing. Who's asking? What are they asking? And why are they asking that? Well, Jesus was asking them to get in the boat with him because he wanted them to partner with him in what he was doing. Then he said this, what was he asking? He was asking them to go to the other side. There was something that he wanted to do, and he wanted them to be part of that. But to be in part of that, they had to commit to go to the other side with him. Many times, this is it. God is asking you, will you stay in the boat till we get to the other side? Because I'll tell you what would happen in today's world is, when Jesus said, hey, we need to go to the other side, we'd whip out our phone and we'd go, my weather app says there will be a storm coming. I think we need to wait, Jesus. What did we do before we knew everything that was coming up? You know, we had to trust. We had to trust that if Jesus said get in the boat, he was going to take care of us. And so when they just jumped in the boat, they said, oh man, can you imagine? This is kind of like people think about when you become a Christian, you don't have any troubles. Anybody ever thought that? You know, man, if you give your heart to Kim and Tony, don't have any troubles. Man, I look at them, think, I wish that was them. Man, I wish I was married to somebody like Kim. I wish I was married to somebody like Tony. You have no idea what you're asking for. Because we always think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You know what I heard somebody say? The grass may look green on the other side of the fence. You just can't see the poop from here. It's the same problems in every. We're all messed up in some area. We all need Jesus in some area of our life. So listen, get over that somebody's always got it better than you. Listen, you have to trust the Lord with what you have and give it to him, and then stay in the boat with him. Trust him. Whatever you have, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, had they known a storm was coming, they wouldn't have got in the boat. Let's be honest. They would have said, oh, wait, can I catch the next boat? I'll just take the next boat. Or what do you think? When you read the whole story, I often think about, you know, we talk about the one boat, but there was a little dinghy. The second little boat. Anybody ever seen a little dinghy hanging behind the back of a big boat? They're the one with the rough ride. But you know what? When they saw the storm, they felt the storm, they began to cry out because they thought, okay, this is going to be the end of us. Sometimes when God asks us to do things, he's asking us to trust that he's going to take care of us. We don't know when the next crisis is coming into our life, but we all have different things that pop up in our life. We all have death. We all have surprises. We all have debt. We all have things that, it rains on the just and the unjust. What I'm trying to say is storms come to everybody. It's not a matter if storms are coming. Jesus said, in this life, you will have persecution. Don't be surprised when it rains on the just and the unjust. Is where your anchor is what's going to matter. Who's in the boat with you? They forgot Jesus was in the boat. And you know what we do many times? We forget. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if we had read the story and his disciples got up and said, storm, Jesus is in the boat, baby. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. But many times we look at it and we go, you know what? We're going to die. I always think of this little story. Kim tells it way better than I do, and it's about her dad. He had a car he didn't like, and a guy had a boat he didn't like, and they swapped. And on, you know, when you get tired of working on something, you're ready to work on something else anyway. So they swapped. He had just moved to Florida. He said, man, I got a boat now. I'm going to go out on a Sunday afternoon after church. We're going to have a great time. Of course, it is kind of funny that when everybody else's boat is coming into dock, you're the only boat going out of the harbor. Should be a sign. Could be a sign. Was a sign. But they went on out. Oh, man, the sun was still shining. If you ever noticed that, many times in the Gulf, the sun will be shining right before the storm hits. Things are looking bright. Anyway, they got out. The prop broke. The boat was just out in the Gulf, and storm came. It was horrible. Her mom was calling the Coast Guard and all the things that were happening, and nobody knew how to get out because it was so rough they couldn't get out the pass there in Destin. And one brave captain went out, and he said, I know them. I'm going to find them. He went out, and he found them, and then they called the Coast Guard, and they sent the helicopter, and they had the light shine on it. And, you know, it's kind of like Jesus was coming there. The light of the world came in. We found you. You aren't lost. We got you. And all of a sudden, while in that storm, there was another father-son on board. Now, Kim's dad and her brother were on there. And I mean, things began to happen. And this guy, he thought he was going to die. He threw his cigarettes overboard. He was telling God, I'll never smoke again. Oh, I'll go to church. The storm was getting him all worked up. And then, of course, because he was getting all worked up, he got sick. He was worthless. He could do nothing. I just want to say that and say, fear paralyzes you. Fear keeps you from doing what God wants you to do. And when she tells the story, her brother was just a young man at the time. And her dad, he kind of looked over at dad and said, Dad, are we going to die out here? And I'll never forget the words he's told this testimony many times. He said, no, God's not finished with me yet. We're going to the other side. God's not finished with you. In the middle of a storm, you need to rest assured, God's not finished with you yet. Because why? Jesus said, we're going to the other side. He turned on the bilge pump, and they sit there, and they pump the water, and you know what? They made it. But it's always interesting, the guy that threw his cigarettes overboard, when he got back to the dock, he said, anybody got a cigarette? I need a smoke. He done stressed himself out, and he had to go right back to where he was. But the deal is, in the middle of a storm, who are you trusting? It's so easy to jump ship, to give up on what you know to be true. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the truth of our life. Jesus is the rock of our life. So we know who it was that was talking to us. We know what he wanted us to do was stay in the boat with him no matter what comes your life. And you know, there are things that happen in our life that we don't understand. Last year, in ministry-wise, I had already scheduled probably 12, 14 wild game dinners. Everything was going good. Kim had a lot of things on her calendar. We were scheduled. We began to plan accordingly, and we prayed about things. I had an old truck that was just breaking down. Every time I went to a wild game dinner, I pulled in the driveway when I get home, and it wouldn't crank, and then I'd have to take it to the shop. It was just getting ridiculous. So we prayed about it, and we said, Lord, you know, we need a truck. You know, we need some way to get around. So we bought a truck in January. And then guess what happened in March? Everything canceled. I was saying, Lord, I don't think COVID was a surprise to you. I sure would have been nice if you'd have let us know. So we really only used our truck in two events. You're the second event that we've done that to. But why did God ask us? You know what? It was a walk of faith. God's been faithful for us to help us make those payments. You know what I mean? And just things have happened. Because when you depend on ministry as your livelihood, that But you know what? Stay in the boat. Don't give up. Don't say, oh man, what a mess we're in. No, just know who's in the boat with you. Jesus is in the boat. Here's the last thing I want to talk about. Why did Jesus ask them to get in the boat? What was the purpose? Why? Because it's always bigger than you and I. It wasn't just for the wild, crazy ride and to survive a storm. That's not the reason why Jesus wanted them to get in the boat. Jesus had a purpose, and the ultimate purpose was there was a need on the other side of the lake. Sometimes we think, oh, wow, it's all about us. What about my needs? What about this? What about that? But Jesus was thinking about the man that as soon as the boat landed, in chapter 5, you begin to see what the real reason why it was. There was a guy that met Jesus the moment, it says immediately when he stepped out of the boat. What was he doing? He was waiting for Jesus to get there. And do you know what? People are waiting on you to get there. They're waiting for your feet to hit the other side of what God is asking you to do. And when he saw Jesus, he ran down and knelt at his feet and began to worship him. And you know what it was? He wasn't just an ordinary sinner. This guy had a reputation. And Jesus cast out the demons that were in him. His name, and Jesus asked him what his name was. He said, Legion, because there's many of us. And he could never be tamed. He was tormented day and night. And there are people that we meet that are tormented by their past. They're tormented by their situation. They think there is no hope in this life. But I want to tell you today, Jesus is the hope that came to the other side. When Jesus stepped out of that boat, hope stepped out of that boat. When you get to the place that God has called you, you are salt, you are light, you are the hope. Jesus is the hope, the happy anticipation of good. And Jesus brought salvation and deliverance to his life. I love it when Jesus went to the synagogue and he picked up the scroll and he opened it up and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to preach the good news. And you know what? That's what he's called you to do. He's what he's called me to do. The good news of the gospel. It's not a condemnation. It's not how big of a Bible we can whoop over somebody's head. It's about the love of Christ that came and died on a cross. It's about these t-shirts that I see that are so simple that even a redneck can understand it. Let me just tell you, it's simple. Jesus died for people. We need to fall in love with people. We need to get past ourselves because you know what? There are some nasty people in the world. There's some people that are hard to love. Come on, can I get a witness? There's some people you just don't like. I'll tell you what, I've had in recent time, I've worked with some knuckleheads. I've worked with some people that I just go, holy smokes, Lord, why in the world? What am I doing here? What is going on? And you know what? You may be the only Bible they ever read. They may never darken the doors of a church. They may never open a Bible. They may never hear a sermon on the radio. They may never watch a Christian television show, but they will see you. And will they see Jesus in you? Will they see the hope that stepped out of that boat? Will you say, yes, I'm going to get in the boat. I'm going to go. I'm going to be a part of what God is doing. I'm not going to jump ship when it gets hard. I'm not going to jump ship when it costs me something. I'm going to stay steady. I'm not going to jump up and say, Jesus, don't you care what's going on in my life? He cares for us. Listen, but when the hope arises, I'm going to end with this little story or really reality in my life. I saw a guy, Kimberly met the wife years ago. And sometimes, how many of you know you get involved in relationships because your wife is involved in relationship? Anybody ever said this? We're going to dinner with my friends. Okay. Do I know them? No, but you will. Because part of us is involved in a relationship. So we're both involved. The two shall become, boy, that was weak. Whew. Antrim, where are you? The two shall become one. So when one is involved, we're both involved. So Kim had a relationship with this lady, and she was a sweet lady, and she was a believer. But her husband didn't want anything to do with God. Very successful, very well-to-do, had a fabulous job. He was a man's man. And this is why I love to do Wild Game. I love to be around men. And I want to say, he was a man's man. When you got around him, it was like cowboy up, dude. I mean, he's like, I expect you to be a man. Had no use for God. Didn't want to talk about anything to do with God. And I watched this guy and I thought, Lord, what a hard heart. You think, could God save him? You know, and you're thinking, might be a challenge. No. Is anything too hard for God? Come on now. Is anything too hard for God? We went into their home. We were ministering in the area. And I'll never forget, we kind of talked and he asked questions. And then at the dinner table, he said, Tony, would you pray? And you could see the wife gasping. He had never asked anybody to pray at the table. Never. So we just invited the presence of the Lord. We blessed their home. We thanked them. We just prayed. We just loved on them. And we were just salt and light. Then a few years later, all of a sudden, this guy who was, I mean, hard, he was like putty. Jesus, he had a Jesus experience. And now this guy is passionate. If I could say that, I would say passionate about the things of God. He teaches in a Christian school. He's retired. He doesn't need the money. He just goes, he says, I want to impart the truth into the hearts and lives of young men and women. God got a hold of his life. He changed him around. The hope that was in the boat got into Tom's heart. And today, this guy loves Jesus with a passion. We went to breakfast with him, and I thought he was going to just, when he started praying at the breakfast table, I thought the whole restaurant was going to say a hearty amen when he got finished, because here was a change in his life. Jesus is a change maker. And when you don't know about it, Jesus is there. Yes. Just like the song said, all those times when I didn't know where Jesus was, he was right there in the boat. I want to encourage you today, get in the boat. Get involved in what God's asking you to do. Tony, I don't think I can. Yes, you can, because Jesus will give you everything you need. He's not looking for ability, he's looking for availability. If you say yes, Lord, I'll say yes to your will and to your way. Can you bow your heads with me this morning? I just want to pray and ask the Lord to minister to us right now. While Kim's playing and the Holy Spirit is moving, if God is speaking to your heart and he's been talking to you, saying, get in the boat. You've been sitting on the shoreline too long. Maybe God's saying, don't jump ship. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your kids. Listen, I know it's tough financially. I know things have been rough, but don't give up. God is your source, not your job. God is your source. The hope, the light of the world is stepping into your situation, and he can bring the change. He can make the adjustments. He can do the miracle, whatever needs to be done, if we will say yes. Lord, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and if you've got a need in your life today, can you just slip up your hand and say, Tony, that's me. I'm just praying about something. God is dealing with me. Just throw your hand up high. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thanks. Thank you. I'm no longer. Don't let fear keep you back. Say yes. One more time. Anybody else need to get in on a prayer? Just come on real quick. Jesus, you saw the hands that were raised this morning. You know the hearts and the lives of these that are here. Lord, help us to say, I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. Lord, I pray that you'll minister to these needs. We agree with them right now, Lord. Whatever their need is in their life, as they reach out by faith and touch you and say, yes, Lord, I want you in my life right now. Lord, thank you for these that have come this morning. We ask you to bless them as they leave this place. Help them to be salt and light. Help them to get involved where you have told them and spoken to their heart that you are speaking to us. And we say yes. We love you. We thank you for this day. And thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Kim. Appreciate your passion for the Lord. It's been an encouragement to me. I pray it's been an encouragement to every single one of us. And just as Tony prayed, Father God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to live in our place, to die in our place. I pray give us a view of your glory, your weightiness, your love, that it would call forth from us all the passion that Tony has been challenging us to this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ crossed from the other side, crossed to the other side, heaven to earth, life to death, and back again. I love what Tony said last night about establishing common ground with people to lead them to higher ground. That's our call now. So go out, establish, develop common ground with those around you so that you can point them to higher ground. May God give us grace to do so. God bless you.